Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Finally, summer has come to New England. Finally. And I hope that yesterday you were caught up in the bluest blue of sky and the ragingly green grass and the beautiful breezes that came. Summer is finally here. And in the summer, all of us New Englanders get to watch sailboats on the water. And from a distance, they look so serene as they dance on the waves and the wind. And from a distance, that sail can look a little bit like a bird's wing, bowed out by the wind, full and angled, with the body of the sailboat underneath it. If you've been on a sailboat, you know that the sensations of sailing are rarely serene. There's a quick eye required, a quick hand, you need sturdy feet, and kind of cat-like responses. Every once in a while, there are long moments that have a serene quality to them. But most often, the sail's crew is pretty busy responding to the wind. On board, you catch the wind in the sail, and you need to use it to move, to propel forward. So you engage the wind, you play with it if it's just a bright little wisp of wind, and you spill it out of the sails when it's so strong and powerful that it might threaten the boat. But it's very clear as soon as you're on a sailboat, you don't control the wind. The wind controls you. Sometimes the sails are even rigged and rolled up very tight because the wind is so strong that it could overwhelm the sail. And then there are other times, the sails are annoyingly limp. The boat becomes what sailors call, in a euphemistic way that really annoys me, becalmed. Doesn't that sound so far too pretty? What it means is the wind just stops, and the boat just sits on the river, or in the lake, or on the ocean, for as long as it takes for a gust of wind to come again. And if you've ever been becalmed, you know that a sailor will grasp at even a little whisper of wind. The crew will try to find a direction and an angle that will fill that sail, even with just a puff. But we can't ever fill that sail by ourselves. The timing and the strength of the wind and how the sails will catch it, largely a mystery until they arrive, until that wind shows up. In the book of John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it's coming from or where it's going. Thus is everyone who's born of the Spirit." Jesus' metaphor sounds beautiful and serene from a distance. It sounds beautiful and serene when we think about the animating force of the Holy Spirit bringing new life to the world, moving in the way it chooses, like the wind. But it's so much more challenging and more than a bit unnerving when we realize that Jesus wants that sentence to apply to us and to our specific journey through this complicated world. Most of us prefer to choose the speed and the direction of our own life's path. And I think most of us would prefer to do that completely, to have complete control. But that expectation is the exact opposite of what Jesus is telling us in John. In John's gospel, Jesus explains that grace falls on whomever grace wants to fall on, and that holy love is a larger and more powerful force than human logic or human expectation or human skill. And Jesus definitely implies that sometimes that holy force will carry us where we do not expect to go. And that sometimes that holy love will move in ways that dazzle or confuse or transform us. If Pentecost is the day God gives the church the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's also the day that God asks us to be willing to be transformed by that Spirit. In our communal life, we already acknowledge the Spirit's transforming ways. You can think of the rites of baptism or marriage or the Eucharist itself. Those are places in our liturgy where we welcome the gusting grace of the Holy Spirit. We repeat ancient blessings and pour water and oil on our children's foreheads. We witness God binding up two people to become one in that sacred rite of holy matrimony. Or we receive the blessed bread in our hands, drink from the blessed chalice. These are outward and visible signs of inward and invisible grace. We can't see the holiness itself in these events, but we can feel the Spirit's presence the way we can hear the wind rushing or feel the warm sun on our back on a beautiful summer day. But we also each have an individual relationship with the Holy Spirit, who wants to guide us and guard us and challenge us to grow into the full stature of the best and truest parts of our own character. So in the midst of the unique life journey which belongs to each of us, we also need to ask, are we ready to have the Holy Spirit transform us? Are we ready? The good news is that this divine Spirit is full of grace and power and is fueled by the love of God. But make no mistake, it is not a tame creature. It's not a force that we control. It can't be broken like a horse with a saddle or disciplined like a sailboat. The Spirit is described as a cosmic force which is much larger than a mere human being. And when we say yes to it, we recognize a power greater and larger and more transcendent and much more glorious than we are. As a church, we said yes to the Spirit a long time ago. On Pentecost, we remember the first day the disciples caught the wildness of the Spirit. The force, like a fire. The power, like a great whirlwind. If we believe the story in Acts, the Spirit tossed strangers up against one another, stripping them of the pretense of being foreign to one another. It translated 12 languages, 12 different languages, into a comprehensive unity so that everyone heard the story of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in their native tongue. And later on that same day that Peter spoke to the crowds, foreigners of every race, nation, and creed of the ancient world are transformed into a community of 3,000 people when Peter baptizes them all at once. So the sun rose that day with just a handful of people following Christ. And by the time that sun set, a mighty throng was born. And the world was never the same. We are now 2 billion strong, spread out over the globe, on every continent. The people Peter spoke to recognized the living Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit Jesus had promised. And they recognized that living Spirit in one another's lives. That's how they became the church. They were transformed by the Holy Spirit. And we continue to honor the day of Pentecost when we ask ourselves if we are ready to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. It is not a small or an easy question. So are you? Are you ready to be brave? Are you ready to let an unexpected task or a new ministry or a new talent catch fire in you? Are you ready to serve in a new way? Perhaps discovering something about the world or something about your own soul that you never knew before. Could there be a member of this congregation, currently a stranger to you, who is meant to become your friend? The Holy Spirit may ask us to be braver than we ever imagined we could be. And the Holy Spirit may ask us to endure something incredibly difficult in the name of love. Or to let go of an anger we didn't think we could let go of. And to replace a fire of anger with a fire of joy or a fire of creativity. Only you and the Spirit will come to know what will be required of you. But Jesus tells us that with the Spirit's help, you will accomplish it. Most of us are not so ready to have a spiritual wind blow through us or to have a spiritual fire dance around us. Most of us would like those dramatic details to remain in the ancient story about Peter and the early church and not come after us. We're often willing to be content with the way life is right now. But the Holy Spirit is not content with our contentment. It blazes out, wanting more for us and wanting more from us than we might choose for ourselves. It's a little crazy. It's a little reckless to invite the Holy Spirit to transform us. But that is what Jesus tells us to do. We are children of God, baptized by water and the Spirit, made a new people by water and the Spirit. And our living God wants us to live an abundant life with abundant opportunities to share our life with other people, other children of God. Pentecost reminds us that whether we know it or not, there is something waiting to catch fire in us. God is not done with any of us yet. The Holy Spirit will determine the time and the place and bring healing in its wings. We are asked to keep our hearts open, to catch that holy wind, and to move forward. Amen.